Lord, for that, that we live in a country we can meet together and to be able to freely come and just worship the Lord. It's those who have been served in the military, and you know, we do thank you and appreciate all that you've done for us and for our country. Look over in John chapter 9. I had a special sermon in my mind I was trying to put together. I was listening to a preacher, a friend of mine who was preaching. He said he was over in London at Bunhill Cemetery in London. And he started talking about the great Baptists, you know, who were buried there, and started giving me this information. He said there's a book out called Bunhill Memorials. And I'm thinking, what better? We're on Bunhill, you know, here in Vestal. And he didn't get the information to me till last night about 6 o'clock. And so I did not have time, but I'll get on that and I'll work on get something for you. But there's some great men who are buried there in Bunfields and are in a book called Bunhill Memorials. But today we're just going to continue on our series. And the miracles are the meanings of the miracles. And this is part six out of 7 parts. So next week is going to be our last sermon in this series. So John chapter 9, you look in verse 1. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I pray that we can understand, Lord, the meaning that you have for us in this passage, Lord, the meaning behind this miracle. I pray, Lord, that we can study your word, that we can understand your word, and we can faithfully walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, this is the 6th sermon out of 7. We've been looking at the miracles recorded in the book of John. And we find the order of these miracles have meaning. We find the Holy Spirit controlled John in writing these scriptures. And we found meaning in the phrases. We found meaning in the numbers. We found meaning in names, in locations, and in orders of the events that take place. Now, these things can only be understood if you actually study, if you study the Bible. I mean, if you just read it, you know, you're not going to catch these things. There's going to be things that the only way you're going to get, and that's why God commands us to study the Word of God. We're commanded to memorize, to meditate, you know. We're commanded to follow the Word of God. And God promises us if we do that, then He'll give us understanding. He'll teach us. He'll direct us. He gives us success, and He will help keep us from sin if we study and memorize and meditate on His Word. You know, I pray this series that we looked through and we looked at the details of God's Word. He studied the details. I pray that will give you a kind of a thirst, a hunger, you know, to be able to study God's Word on your own. You know, it's not good enough you just come to church and hear the pastor. You know, you gotta go and study. And when you get it for yourself, it's better. You know, believe me, just trust me. If someone just tells you something, it's good. But when you find it yourself, you're like, wow, I got that. And I know I'm not a smart guy. I'm not the smartest guy in the world. But when the Holy Spirit teaches you these things and gives you that understanding, wow, it just means so much more. So as I preach these things, sometimes you're like, man, that guy's pretty, he's got a lot of excitement behind that. And it may not seem like a big deal, but it is to me because God gave it to me. God spoke to me and God gave me something great. We find in the first three miracles that we covered illustrated salvation by the word, that was turning the water into wine. Salvation by faith, that was when the nobleman's son was healed. Salvation by grace, we find that was when the impotent man there at Bethesda was healed by Jesus. The fourth miracle was a turning point and illustrated how God uses men to get out the bread of life, to evangelize, tell the people about the gospel. And that was how, you know, he fed the 5,000. Then last week we looked at how Jesus, how he calmed the storm, calmed the sea, and they miraculously showed up at shore, and how that pictures that how salvation brings peace. Peace with God, you know, we can have assurance of our salvation, and the peace of God, that we can have peace that passes all understanding. And that's something that's greatly needed today. Not many people have peace, you know, but you can have peace through God, you know. And we talked about that. This morning we're going to look at a passage that illustrates how salvation brings us light, brings us understanding so that we can see. It gives us sight. It opens our eyes. You know, here in this story, Jesus, he passes by a blind man. Passes by this blind man, and when he passes by the blind man, the Bible says that the disciples, what they say, they said, you know, why is this man born blind? Who sinned, him or his parents? You know, and Jesus, you know, he answers them. And Jesus answers them and he says, neither one. This man, he didn't sin, nor his parents. He said, but he was born this way, you know, that the works of God may be made manifest. And then what did Jesus do? Jesus, he then came to the man and he spat on the ground and made clay and put it in his eyes. And then told him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash it out and then you'll receive sight. And the story goes on, and we find that the boy, he does this, and he receives sight, and then he's interrogated by the Pharisees, and then his parents are interrogated, and we find that he ends up standing up for Jesus Christ and giving him worship. We're going to cover some of that actually tonight. But today we're really going to look at, why did Jesus spit on the ground, make clay, and put it in his eyes, and then tell him to go wash? Think about that. You know, it wasn't just like, how should I heal him this time? Maybe I'll make clay and put it in his eyes. This time I'll just, you know, speak it from a distance. This time I'll touch his eyes. You know, one passage said that he spits in a guy's eyes and makes him to see. So Jesus does these miracles, but he does them in different ways. Well, why is that? It's because there's some the detail in this. There's something important that means something. What does it mean? I had no idea till this week, till I started out. I just figured, well, he just wanted to do something a little different, you know. Was just trying to, you know, switch it up a bit, you know. But no, there's some purpose behind the reason why he did that. Now, I'm gonna give you the key. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to give it to you right away. The key to this passage, to understanding, which you probably won't totally get it, but is in verse 39 of chapter 9. It says, and Jesus said, for judgment I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. You know, what an odd statement. You know, they which see will be blind, they which, you know, which don't see, they'll be able to see, you know. And we're going to see how that's going to tie it all in together at the very end. So why did Jesus do this? Why did he make clay and put it into this man's eyes? First, we're going to look at the order of events. Bible says in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, if you notice this verse, it starts off with and. It says, and what it says, and as Jesus passed by. So, I mean, that shows us and tells us there's a connection between chapter 9 and chapter 8. They're closely connected, and in order for you to really understand the miracle and the meaning of this miracle, you have to take it in connection with chapter 8 and what he says. You have to consider the previous event. In chapter 8, we find that Jesus, it's a great chapter. It talks about how the Pharisees, they brought the woman that was taken in adultery, threw her down before Jesus' feet, and they wanted Jesus to stone her. And they were trying to trap Jesus. And the way that they were trying to trap Jesus, because Jesus picked up stones to stone her, they'd say, look, he can't forgive sins. He's not forgiving. But if he just forgave her sins and didn't stone her, they would say, look, Jesus, he doesn't follow the law. She's supposed to be stoned. So what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus, you know the story. He stoops down, he writes in the ground, and he says, he who is without sin, in verse 7, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And those that were standing around, they got convicted because they have sin. They couldn't throw a stone. They got convicted, and they got up and left one by one. Well, then in verse 12, Jesus claims that he is the light of the world. And near the end of the chapter, we find that Jesus, he claims himself to be the I Am. He says, before Abraham was, I am, I believe in verse 58. That Jesus, he claims to be God. And then in verse 59, we find they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, so and so passed by. So we find that Jesus in this chapter, he claims to be the light. He claims to be God. And they picked up stones to kill him. Now, as we compare these two chapters, we find in chapter 8, Jesus, we find that he claims and says he is the light who exposes darkness. In chapter 9, we find that he communicates sight by giving this man sight, by doing this miracle. In chapter 8, we find the light is despised and rejected. In chapter 9, we find that the light is received and worshipped by the one that is healed. In John chapter 8, we find the Jews, they stoop down to pick up stones. In John chapter 9, Jesus stoops down to make clay to anoint the blind man's eyes. In John chapter 8, he hides himself from the Jews as they went to stone him in the temple. In John chapter 9, he reveals himself to the blind beggar. In John chapter 8, we find that they say they have no place for his word. Look in verse 37 of John chapter 8. It says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. In John chapter 9, we find that the blind beggar, he responds to the word of God and washes his eyes in the pool of Siloam. In John chapter 8, inside of the temple, he's called a devil. They call Jesus a devil in verse 48. In John chapter 9, outside of the temple, he is owned as the Lord, as the blind man claims that Jesus is the Lord. In John chapter 8, he tells that he is the light and that he is rejected. In John chapter 9, Jesus illustrates a miracle that teaches how that light, when it is received, it will give sight. We find a comparison between these two, and some of this may not make a whole lot of sense right now, but just keep it in mind as we go, and as I close the message, you'll see the connection between the two. Next thing I want to look at is the condition of the man who was born blind. Verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know, the first thing, if we come to the miracle, we find the conversation between Jesus and his disciples. The disciples didn't seem to have any compassion on the man that was blind. They wanted to kind of philosophize it and try to figure out, who sinned, you know? What's the problem here, you know? How come he's in this, the condition that he's in? Did he sin or did his parents sin? They didn't seem to be concerned. They weren't like, oh, Jesus, look, there's a blind man. Can you heal him? You know, come on. They've seen Jesus do some miracles before this. They've seen him heal several people before he got to this point. Now look how Jesus answers their question. Verse 3, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned or his parents. He's not saying that they're sinless, all right? We know that for all have sinned, right? And come short of the glory of God. He's saying that their sin, neither one of their sin had anything to do with in connection with him being born blind. You know, he said the reason why he's born blind is that the works of God may be made manifest. You know, this is something that many people don't understand, or that false teachers will try to teach, you know, or faith healers, so-called faith healers. They'll say that sickness is a result of sin in your life, and healing is withheld because of unconfessed sin. You know, that's heresy. You know, that's incorrect. It's biblically incorrect. You know, it's not always God's will to heal, and there's several examples in the Bible, like the Apostle Paul. You know, Apostle Paul with a thorn in his flesh that God didn't heal him. And it wasn't because of unconfessed sin. He went before the Lord and asked God for healing, and God didn't heal him, but he gave him grace. He gave him grace to be able to go through that pain or be able to go through that affliction. You find several instances where God does not heal, but he may give grace, maybe make it possible to be able to endure the affliction. You know, here in this passage, Jesus makes it clear that all sin isn't a direct result of someone's sin. I mean, he says neither one sinned, this boy nor his parents. It is not because of sin. It is not the reason why. He said, but the reason is because the works of God may be made manifest in him. The same thing with Lazarus. We're going to actually, that's the next miracle we're going to look at next week, how Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And he tells us that the reason why he died is that God may be glorified. And that was the purpose that he died. And same thing with John. The Bible tells over in John chapter 21, I believe, it talks about how the kind of death that John would die, or Peter, that Peter would die, that would bring God glory. You know, let's not miss the application. There are times, this can help you, you know, in times of affliction. When you don't understand why. You don't understand why you're going through the affliction. You don't understand why you're going through the difficulty, the trial, the health condition, whatever it may be. And you may not understand for a long time. This man, I preached a sermon a while ago, and I kept on referring to him as a boy, the blind boy, because it talks about his parents. But his parents said he is of age. And I just thought, oh, that probably means he's 16. But according to he is of age, he's more like 30 years old. All right, so here's a man. He's over 30 years old. All right, and so that means he's been blind from his birth. So for 30 years he was blind. 30 years, and just now he figures out why. Hey, you may never figure out why the affliction that you're going through right now. Not until you see Jesus face to face in glory, and then you'll find out. But you know what can give you some assurance? What can give you some comfort is knowing that, hey, God has a purpose. That the trials and the afflictions that you're going through, you may not understand it now, hey, but there's a purpose behind it, and that purpose is that God may be glorified in that. You know, some people, they go through horrible sickness and disease, and they end up on their deathbed, you know. They end up in the hospital. But you know what? Sometimes that brings people to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That they would never turn to God. But they, of course, something comes in their life, some kind of shock, some kind of tragedy or something, and guess what? They turn to God, and God is glorified through that sickness. Hey, I praise the Lord. I can look at people through the past that I've got a chance to lead to the Lord, or that I've known that have gotten saved through a tragedy in their life, that, hey, God was glorified. Hey, it was worth their sickness. It was worth their death. It was worth what. And sometimes we don't understand. We understand there'll be children that may die and say, how could a loving God do something like that? Hey, you don't know. Don't know everything. You can't see the things that God sees. Hey, God will be glorified. Consider the condition of being blind. You know, being blind is something that limits you. It cuts you off from many enjoyments of the world. Here, this man could not see. You know, the Bible talks about a blind man. It often refers to someone that is blind as being a natural man. Referring to someone who has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, sometimes referred to being blind or having their understanding darkened or their blindness of their heart. Let me show you a couple of verses that compare someone being blind to someone being lost, spiritually blind. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, blindness of the heart is referring to a natural man, someone who had not received Jesus Christ. In John 3:3, it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, he came to Jesus at night, and Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again." Find that Nicodemus said, "What are you talking about? How am I going to enter into my mother's womb and be born again?" All he could see was the physical. And Jesus was trying to get him to see the spiritual. He's trying to get him to understand. He said, but you can't understand the things of God. You can't discern the things of God. Not until you are born again. Not until you receive the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "But if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The Bible says the God of this world. What's that? That's talking about Satan. He's the God of this world. You know, notice the lowercase g, referring to Satan there. He said that, what does the God of this world do? He blinds people's minds to the light. Blinds people's minds to the glorious gospel. Those that have not been saved, have not been regenerated, hey, they can't see. They're blind to the things of God. And Satan's doing his best to hide the gospel from them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Hey, it's not until you get saved, till you get those spiritual glasses, till you can see things how they really are. Till you can understand the things of God, till you can see the kingdom of God. Hey, the Bible talks about the person that is lost in sin, that they are blind. You know, there are more records of cases of blindness being healed than any other affliction in the Bible. You know, being specific. And guess how many there are? There's 5 of them. We talk about that number 5, you know, being a number of death there. Also grace through death. We find that blindness, you know, it pictures a man being lost in sin. Over in Psalms chapter 51 and verse 5, it says, "Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It says that we're born with a condition. We're born with the condition of being in sin. Born in a condition of being blind. Here, this man was born blind. All right, he wasn't blind because of something that happened later in his life. He wasn't happy because of something that happened later on. No, he was born blind. What a picture of us, as we're born in sin. We're born spiritually blind. The man was also a beggar. He was in need, helpless on his own. The only thing that could help this man was Jesus. You know, this is true of all mankind. The only one that can save us is Jesus Christ. But the problem is, man is blind to the Savior. Just like the blind man, he could not see Christ in his condition. You know, here we find a picture of someone who's lost in sin, who is a born sinner, born blind. And now we get to understand the miracle as we find the meaning of the anointing of the eyes. Look in verse 6. "When Jesus had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing." Now this should bring an understanding of the meaning of the miracle when you study the procedure in which Jesus performs the miracle. Spits on the ground, he anoints the clay, he anoints his eyes with the clay, and told him to go in the pool of Siloam. You see, Jesus, we know that he could have spoke just like he did with the nobleman's son or the impotent man, but he didn't do that. He did it to teach us this truth so we can understand. And it can only be understood by studying God's word. He put clay on his eyes. That's the first thing we're going to look at. He anointed his eyes with clay. You know, think about it. The only thing that Jesus did to this man to heal him is something that would take away his vision. You know? I mean, the way that he healed him is put a bunch of clay in his eyes. I mean, that's if you could see, you would no longer be able to see if someone did that to you. That's the only thing he had done. He put wet clay in his eyes. As we carefully study the context with that Jesus, he says he's the light of the world in John chapter 8 and verse 12. In John chapter 8 and verse 18, he tells us he's the sent one. He's sent of the Father. In John 8, 36, he says he is the Son, the one that makes us free. But Jesus, he was rejected. Rejected in chapter 8. Because he came to them as a lowly man. Look in verse 15 of John chapter 8. It says, "Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." He says the reason why they had rejected him is because they judged him after the flesh. Jesus appeared right before them, and all they could see was his lowly humanity, his flesh. That's all they could see. Well, what does this have to do with clay? Well, clay is a picture of humanity, Christ's humanity here, his humiliation, his lowliness, as he presented it to the eyes of these men. You know, you think about clay, you think about man was created by the dust of the earth, by clay. Over in Job chapter 10, verse 9, he says, "Remember, I beseech thee that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt bring me into dust again." In Job 33, verse 6, "Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay." We find that Jesus, he was a picture. He put him, brought himself right before their eyes. Right, brought himself before their eyes in his humiliation, lowliness, presented to them. But they could not see Jesus. Jesus placed the clay on his eyes. And when he did that, the blind man was still blind. And even if he could see, he would no longer be able to see after Jesus placed that clay on his eyes. Well, what did he have to do? Well, he had to obey Jesus Christ. Told him, he sent him to the pool of Siloam. Verse 7 of John chapter 9. And said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Jesus, what did he tell him to do? He said, "Wash in the water." The beggar, what he needed is he needed water. You know, we've talked about what water represents. Water represents the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. You see, Jesus told this man, he said, in order for you to see, you need to apply the water. You need to take that water and wash your eyes out with the water. You see, the Jews failed to see Jesus. They failed to see the Messiah because they didn't use the water of the Word. So their eyes remained closed. Let me show you that. John chapter 5 is good. John chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." They wanted to kill Jesus. Why? Because he claimed to be equal with God. And so what's Jesus tell them to do? Look in verse 39. "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He said, apply the water, is what he said. They said they were getting ready to stone him because they couldn't see. They didn't realize that he is equal with God. They couldn't see. And Jesus said, hey, apply the water. Go to the pool of Siloam. Look over in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 31. Or back in verse 30. It says, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Now verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God. And Jesus answered, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? Jesus once again refers them to the scripture, refers them to the law, refers them to the water. Symbolically here, Jesus, he commands the blind beggar to do the same. He tells them to apply the water. And we find that the blind man, that he obeyed and he received sight. Now this is good right here. Don't miss this. The difference between the Jews and the beggar is that they could already see. So they refused the testimony, the written word. But the blind beggar knew he was blind. Therefore, he used the water to which Christ referred him to. See, the Jews, they thought they could see. They thought they knew the truth. They thought that they had sight. And so they didn't even want to see the word. They didn't want to apply the water. They didn't want to go to the word. But the blind man, he knew that he was blind. And he said, sure, I'll obey. And he applies that water in which he can see. Now look in John 9:39. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. See, Jesus, he wanted to heal the blind, and he wanted to save. He wanted to save the lost. But it's not until they could realize that they were lost till they could be saved. And he had to blind them first. He had to first blind them in order for them to search the scripture, to see the truth, to apply the word of God, that they can be saved. Jesus is the clay. He pressed upon the lost in their condition so that in their blindness they would turn to Christ, receive his word, that they might be saved. You know, we're all blind from birth spiritually. We need Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that Satan is doing his best to keep us blind by hiding the light of the glorious gospel. You know, we need to first see our need for Christ. You know, when you know our condition, that we're born spiritually blind, born dead in our sins, headed for hell. But you'll only respond to God's word when you realize that you're blind. And then you'll apply God's word and you'll be given sight. You know, you ever wonder, you see people and you wonder, like, how come they can't see the gospel? How come they don't understand? How come they don't see what I see? You know, as once you get saved, all of a sudden things just brighten up for you. I mean, you see things, you understand things. And you wonder, how come they don't see it? How come they're still stuck on evolution? How come they're stuck on these things? It's because they're blind and they think they can see, so they're not looking to the Word of God. They're not applying the testimony of the Lord. You know, you miss out a lot when you're blind. When you're spiritually blind, there's a lot that you miss out on. You know, you don't realize it, you know. It's not until you get saved till you can have the peace that God wants to give you and have that joy and you have that purpose in your life. You get saved, you see things different. And you wonder, how come these other people can't see it? You know, because they're not blind. You know, they don't see their need. You know, and Jesus Christ, yes, he was like clay to the eyes of the Jews, you know, in hopes that they would turn to the water. Hopes they would turn to the Word of God. You know, you wonder as Jesus is walking down the streets of Jerusalem on a donkey, you know, just like it's prophesied, I believe, in Zechariah 9. Like, how come they can't see that? When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, how come they couldn't see that out of Micah 5? How come they can't see these things? Because they think they know. And so they won't apply the testimony of the Lord. Find that when Jesus, when he healed the blind man, he wasn't just randomly, oh, I think this time I'll use clay and put it in his eyes. No, there was some purpose behind that. And you're not going to get the understanding. You're not going to understand that unless you study. Unless you study the Word of God. And you can see these things. And now that you're saved, the Holy Spirit has given you the ability to discern spiritual things to where he'll give you he'll open your eyes up to these things in the Word of God. You know, we need to watch out that our eyes don't get clouded. And we realize that we need to depend upon God. you know, every day. That's why we pray. That's why we follow. That's why we use the Word of God, you know, because without it, I mean, we can't see straight. We can't see right. You need to keep, you know, you can get your eyes fogged, you know, with the sin of this world. You know, I praise the Lord we can never be blind again, you know, that you can't lose your salvation. But you can get far from God. You can start to see things, no longer see things. I've seen people that were once walking with the Lord and they were soul winners and they were doing great things for the Lord. And now I'm like, what is wrong with that guy? You know, how come he's living like that now? How could he go back there and do the things? He knows better than that. He's been blinded. He started to get blinded again. He started to lose his vision. You know, he needed to apply the Word of God. He needs to apply the testimony of God's Word. You make sure that, hey, that your vision may be cloudy this morning. You know, it's time to get back and to go to the Pool of Siloam. The sent, you know, Jesus Christ, he was sent to them, you know, and apply. And, you know, Jesus Christ, he was anointed by God, you know, and he was Holy Spirit filled, came into us, you know, presented himself to us that we may receive him. As I speak to you guys, I know, you know, you probably all give me your testimony of how you received Jesus Christ and how one day you were blind and now you can see, you know, like the Amazing Grace, you know, once was blind and now I can see. Hey, you know, an awesome song. You think about how God's grace is amazing, you know, how we can now see. Now it's our job to go out and to tell people to wash, you know, give out the water, you know, wash people's eyes, you know, show them how they can apply God's Word. Because what we have most of the time now is we have people going out, the blind leading the blind, right? Bunch of blind people trying to say, this is what you need to do. You just need to, you know, get a better personality, you know, whatever. You need to smile more, and that's how you're going to be happy. And no, it comes from God's Word. It comes from trusting the Lord as your Savior. Let's stand as we pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity I had to be in your house, Lord, and lift up your name. I thank you for your Word, for giving me understanding, Lord, for helping me be able to study and see these things in your Word. I pray that our eyes can be open to the truth, that we can follow you, we can serve you as we ought to, Lord, that we can have the peace and joy that you offer to us, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning and to lift up your name. In Jesus' name, amen.